We are in full swing of the Democratic primaries. And as what started out as a million Democrats has been whittled down to just six people on the debate stage recently, we're going to get into the debate. And we're going to talk about the Democrats. And we're going to talk about what they're doing and their chances of defeating Donald Trump from my perspective. This is Lessons from the Screen.
Lessons from the Screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you running with lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
Welcome back to another episode of Lessons from the Screen. This is still the show where we can give you reviews and information on any information that you can get from any particular source of any particular kind. We check so that you don't have to. You're welcome. Lessons from the Screen, as always, is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC, PAX Inc., a black activist organization aimed at developing the black community through economics, education, culture shift, and you can find more information on them at www.pactsinc.org. That's pactsinc.org. You go to the website, you can find tons of information about black history from source documentation or replicas of source documentation. You can also take a survey to help provide information. Leave a donation, tell a friend to tell a friend, join up. Do whatever you can to help them because they're doing whatever they can to help you. And without further ado, I'm going to stop stuttering through this intro, stammering and stumbling through it, and let's get right into the show. Let's start talking about this Democratic debate. So as I mentioned earlier, the debate started out with, like, it was damn near 30 of them. It was a lot. It was too many. And not that I'm against having a lot of candidates. I think the playing field should be spread out wide, and I think there should be a lot. The problem comes in the fact that the opportunities to get to know every candidate and the way America has been groomed to get to know every candidate, was just not in line with having that many candidates. Now, I enjoyed a large field because it gave me a lot to read. But the fact of the matter is, if you are not highly visible, if you don't have big purse strings, and if you are not already at the top of the party, chances of you getting elected in this day and age in this America is slim to none. But before I get into the intricacies and the ins and outs of how I feel about this Democratic debate and whether or not Democrats have a chance at beating Donald Trump with any of the six people that remain as a part of the party's front runners or a part of the party's possibilities, and of course an independent could swoop in out of nowhere and clear this whole thing out, we know that probably ain't gonna happen. But I'm going to take a moment to give you my version of the first 30 minutes of this debate. Now, the debate itself was about an hour and 50 minutes, roughly nearly 2 hours, so I'm not going to go into all of that, but I feel like the first 30 minutes really does a good job of capturing what the entirety of the debate was. And after I give you that, I'm going to go into all of the different reasons why I think this is a problem. So at first, the moderator asked Sanders, he said, he was like, why is your revolution the best way to beat Trump? And Sanders was like, well, to beat Trump, people got to vote like they did when Obama ran in 2008. Bloomberg is an old racist. People ain't going to vote for him. Remember that Stop and Frisk shit? If you forget, I'm going to keep mentioning it. Just so you don't. And black people remember that shit too. And Latinos do too. So by me bringing that shit up, I'm showing them that I'm in touch and that Bloomberg ain't shit. And see, what I'm doing with my movement is bringing people together, no matter what race, to work on the shit that I think is important. Like raising the minimum wage, $15 an hour, universal health care, and fighting the coal industry for climate change. And then the moderator was like, so Bloomberg, follow up on that. What you think? Can Sanders beat President Trump? And is there anything else that he said that you want to respond to? And Bloomberg was like, man, hell no. Hello no. you know, there ain't no way in hellified baba snacks that Sanders is going to beat Trump. This guy has no chance in hell to beat Trump. He has about as much chance to beat Trump as I have of black people forgetting about stop and frisk. And he is about to take away people's health care. So white people don't even like him. If Bernie wins, Trump will kick his motherfucking ass. To which point, Warren hopped in and she was like, Bloomberg is a racist piece of shit. And that said, he also said a bunch of fucked up shit about women, like calling them horse-faced lesbians and fat broads. And we shouldn't be trying to beat Trump by becoming Trump, but I support it if it beats Trump. But fuck rich people. And I can beat Trump because I fight for the broke bitches. And Klobuchar just hopped in and she was like, I had the highest voter turnout and I bring in voters. Fuck Bloomberg. He told me to move aside for him. Suck my ass, bitch. And Bloomberg was like, I can beat Donald Trump. I can do the job. No one else on this motherfucking stage could do those two things. And Biden just hopped in out of nowhere and was like, look, I can beat Donald Trump. Polls say so. Your poll says so. Bloomberg, stop and frisk, Obama. Buttigieg was like, Sanders is a socialist that thinks that capitalism is the root of all evil. And Bloomberg thinks that money is the root of all power. And most Americans don't like either one of them. And they are leading. What the fuck? Come on, Democrats. Let's pick a fucking Democrat. And Sanders was like, Pete, I'm not polarizing. I'm giving voice to the working class. Unlike you, who has billionaire campaign contributors. So take that and get off these nuts. And Buttigieg was like, my campaign has hundreds of thousands of contributors. You aren't the only one who cares about the middle class. In fact, you are at war with working class unions, bitch. If you want smoke, I got all the fire, bitch. And Biden was standing in between them, both with the old shit face like, oh, shit, he just said that. Oh, it's going down. And then Buttigieg kept going, my plan builds what you say yours does without taking anything from the people. And I'm doing it without a legion of retards that attack and destroy anyone and anything that isn't you, including other Democrats. So suck on these nuts, ho. And then so the moderators jumped back in and they was like, are Sanders supporters making it hard to unify the party? And Warren was like, he ain't a leader. He can't control his followers. But back to Bloomberg, racist ass. He's a racist bitch. I get shit done. He don't. We need a candidate with values. None of these other people have any. I do. And then Sanders hopped in and was like, look, I got millions of people on social media. 99.9% of them are decent people. I don't claim fuck shit or the people that create and push fuck shit. I don't claim fuck boys. But my people get attacked too, especially my black people. And the internet is wild. And Buttigieg was like, I believe you. Your supporters do get attacked. I believe that. But I also believe that they are bringing it upon themselves because your supporters are basically the Democratic version of Trump supporters. Bernie bros, Trump tarts, all the same shit. So Sanders was like, Pete, that's some first-class bullshit. You want to talk about these women? They get treated oh so badly. I can't even describe how badly they get treated. Sorry. I was channeling my inner Trump because in that moment, Bernie Sanders sounded like he was on some Trump shit. Anyways, the Russians are in their bag. Why would I attack unions? That shit don't make no fucking sense. So Buttigieg was like, leaders bring the best out of people. You bring the worst out of people, which is why you are the Democratic Trump. And Klobuchar hopped in and was like, you know how you stop sexism on the internet? You nominate a woman for president. Sanders a bitch. Buttigieg is right. He's a Democratic Trump. He is trying to take away your health care. And so the moderators was like, people say, Bernie, that your plan goes too far. Are they right? And Sanders was like, nah. Man, shit is bad out here, know what I'm talking about? I ain't gonna sign nothing that makes it worse, but the shit needs to be overhauled. And so then the moderators was like, Warren, why did you change your stance on healthcare? Is it because of the unions? And Warren was like, Buttigieg doesn't even have a plan. He has a PowerPoint, probably created by his corporate sponsors and rich donors. And at this point, the camera panned to Buttigieg. Buttigieg was looking around like, what the fuck? What the fuck is she coming at me for? And Amy claimed it, and then Warren went back, and she started going in on Amy Klobuchar, and she was like, Amy don't have a plan either. It's worse than his. She's got fucking sticky notes. And Amy was looking around like, didn't I just shout this bitch out earlier? What the fuck kind of shit is this? And then she jumped up, kept going, and she jumped in on Bernie Sanders, and she was like, Bernie has a good start, but his campaign doesn't, his campaign is basically run by a bunch of assholes that don't think that they will get it through, so they ain't even really trying to come up with a plan. And Bernie was like, really? Really? Really, Warren? That's what we doing? You just gonna attack everybody on the stage all at once, huh? And then she finished out with, healthcare is a crisis. I have a plan, and I'm going to get it done correctly. So then Buttigieg got a chance to respond because she name-dropped Buttigieg first. And Buttigieg was like, first off, I like words. So I don't know what the fuck she talking about with this PowerPoint shit. But my plan is going to work, and go read it. And Klobuchar then jumped in, and she was like, Post-it notes were invented in my state. So you're double-disciplining me and my state, bitch? People don't want y'all shit, Warren. You fucking up. And Sanders hopped in and was like, other countries provide universal health care, but America can't because we too busy being bent over by the health care lobbyists and they're funding all of these other candidates except for me. And Biden jumped in and was like, I already done the shit that they talking about wanting to do. I did the shit with Obamacare. And everybody was cool with Obamacare. But now these fucking retards want a new plan? Fuck these people. And so then Warren jumped in and was like, Buttigieg's plan only looks at one of the four expenses. Klobuchar's plan is two paragraphs. The fuck they talking about? And Klobuchar and Buttigieg was looking around like, this hoe is lying. And then Bloomberg hopped in because, you know, he was over there looking like Skeletor for the longest. Not really like Skeletor. More like that thing from, you remember the thing that used to be the little skeleton dude that used to be in the scary movies? Like the one with Demon Knight with Jada Pinkett and the other ones that he used to always. Yeah, that's kind of what Buttigieg reminded me of. But anyways, so Bloomberg. That's what Bloomberg reminded me of. But anyways, so then Bloomberg jumped in and he was like, I like Obamacare. I just didn't think it went far enough. Trump is a fucking retard, though. He's fucking up. And we don't need a new plan. We just need to fix the one we got. And then they all started jumping on him, and so he was like, and I apologize for stopping Frisk. So I don't know what the fuck they talking about. And Biden was like, it's not about the apology, it's about the policy, which is a nice rhyme. But then, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, unless it applies to Biden, because all of y'all on this stage got fucked up policies with regards to black people. Don't pretend like stopping Frisk was the only one. But anyways, he was like, it's not about the apology, it's about the policy. Unless it's me, then it's about the apology, not the policy. The only reason this fuckboy changed the policy is because Barack Obama sent moderators in, and he didn't want that to happen. I meant mediators, not moderators. Or monitor, not mediators, or moderators. Anyways, scene. And that was the first 30 minutes of the debate. Now, that was extremely entertaining to watch. No lie. First 30 minutes of the debate was extremely entertaining to watch. But it was also extremely polarizing, filled with propaganda, reeking of the current era of Trump politics, taking shots and stabs at others instead of speaking to what you are going to try to do and your accomplishments, not even educating voters on the political process of the powers of the presidency, showing that you understand the Constitution and the way democracy works, the way American representative democracy works, understanding the way the Republic was set up. None of that was in place. Instead, what we saw was a spectacle, an entertaining spectacle from a bunch of people who are supposed to be more mature and more well put together than Donald Trump and equipped to lead the country out of the Trump era and back into the era of civilized politics. And this is what we saw from these six people. A bunch of people, young and old, because Buttigieg is only 38, so he's not an old man. Meanwhile, Sanders and Biden are both in their 70s. I think Bloomberg is in his 70s as well. Warren is in her 60s. Klobuchar is in her 50s. So you saw people of all ages pretty much standing up, insulting each other, telling people they ain't shit, attacking each other, spitting vitriol at each other, basically doing whatever they can to turn voters off of the other candidates and onto them. And these are the same people who, after the primary is over, are going to walk on stage and tell the people that supported the other people that they just finished tearing down to vote for them. And that's the problem with what's happening right now in the Democratic primaries. The Democrats are literally ripping themselves to shreds. They're injuring each other in hopes of surviving through to face one of the nastiest, most sinister, most underhanded, lowball, cheating presidential candidates we've ever had, who now has the backing and the power and the influence of the presidential office, and also has the historical backing of being able to sit in a position to where most presidents get a second term. So if history is any indicator, he has an 80 to 90% chance of getting reelected. You add to that the fact that this level of politics suits the way Donald Trump runs his political campaigns. Nasty, underhanded, lacking of respect, willing to do, say, and be a part of anything to win. That's what I witnessed from these six Democrats who are supposed to be giving us an adult alternative to a childish president. And if they're going to play ball the way that Donald Trump plays ball, they're going to lose. All of them. Now, one thing I do think that they've grasped onto is that people don't necessarily vote for somebody or something. They vote against somebody or something. So people didn't necessarily vote for Donald Trump. Of course, there were some that do. I'm just speaking in general majority terms. There were some that did, but people did not vote for Donald Trump. They voted against Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party. That is why we have a Donald Trump presidency. And in this case, instead of giving the people more information and trying to convert those independents like myself and those moderate to centrist Republicans, those swing Republicans who are capable of being dissuaded from Trump, instead of giving them something to lash onto, they gave us all reason not to want to vote for any of them. Now, of course, I'm not speaking to myself, because in a full moment of transparency and probably presenting myself to be more biased than I want to be, I don't like Donald Trump as a president. And I think that he should have been impeached, looking at the facts of it all. And I read the Mueller report, and I think that his continuing presidency poses a long-term danger and provides consistent long-term damage to American politics and to the American government and to American influence the world over. And that's just speaking from an American perspective. Speaking from a black perspective, there's a whole other level of damage that I feel Donald Trump is doing, his administration and his policies are doing in America. But what these people need to be doing is bringing the party together. They need to be giving an adult alternative to Donald Trump. They need to be positioning themselves as the cool, calm, adult, mature alternative to a sporadic, childish, immature, impulsive president. And none of them did that last night, in my opinion. They all took the opportunity to jab at somebody in a very underhanded way. The only one on the stage that I felt didn't really go out of their way to attack anybody was Amy Klobuchar. And that might just be because of her very folksy soccer momish way of speaking and delivering things. Now, she ain't quite Sarah Palin, but I think she is still kind of in that vein of being very soccer momish, very, very, you know, white woman next door type deal, which as a black man, I'll say that terrifies me. Because the white woman next door will fuck your black shit up. But the fact of the matter is, if this is how the Democratic primary is going to carry on, if this is how the Democratic debates are going to be, and if this is how Democrats are going to choose who's going to represent their party as they campaign and battle against Donald Trump, they're not going to win. Because people aren't going to come back from that. One of the things that people loved about Barack Obama's first campaign was that he never went low on anybody. Well, he did attack people, but it was never underhanded. There were never personal insults. The first 30 minutes of this debate was laced with personal insults. People saying that other people lacked values. People saying that other people were corporate cronies. People saying that other people didn't know what they were doing. People saying that other people didn't have the best interest of the American people at heart. This is not a national election of the level to where you're going against someone on the other side of the aisle, as you will when you face Donald Trump or a Republican candidate. These are supposed to be your Democratic comrades in arms, where you're giving the people the opportunity to pick the best Democrat to align with their values and to retake the White House from the Republicans. But instead, they're treating this like they're the only Democrat in a room full of Republicans, and they're lashing out at everybody. This isn't going to go well. We saw this again in 2016 with Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, where the mud and the dirt that was slung was so thick and so heavy that by the time Hillary Clinton beat Bernie Sanders, and every time I say this, I reiterate, yes, she did beat Bernie Sanders. You Bernie bros, get over it. But by the time Hillary Clinton beat Bernie Sanders, Bernie Sanders fans were so turned off by Hillary Clinton that a large chunk of them didn't vote. A large chunk of them voted for Trump in spite of, and a lot of the moderate to centrist Democrats and independents either didn't vote or voted for Trump to teach the Democratic Party a lesson or to directly speak out against Hillary Clinton. Protest votes to the other party. Now, while it'd be nice to think that American voters have learned their lessons from casting protest votes for candidates that they don't feel are serious or good at the job, I know that America, if America was a teenager, it'd be a dumbass ditzy valley girl that just keeps bumping his head against the same shit over and over and over again. And that's what we're dealing with. The state of the Democratic Party is not looking very well right now, in my opinion. And these six candidates are not doing very well right now, in my opinion, in terms of defeating Donald Trump. They are going for entertainment value. They're going for shock value. And they're trying to dismember, and destroy each other instead of just standing on the block and saying, look, these are my allies. I disagree with certain positions of theirs. These are my positions. You choose which one of us best represents what you need. Because at the end of the day, if it's really just about beating Donald Trump, all the mudslinging ain't necessary. Trust that the American people will pick the best Democratic candidate. The Democratic Party will pick the best Democratic candidate. And if that's you, great. If it's not you, remember, your large goal is to defeat Donald Trump. So it shouldn't matter who does it, as long as it's done. And to that matter, the mudslinging, again, it gets in the way of the mission. And so now I'm left wondering why the Democratic Party is still in shambles. When Hillary Clinton lost, the Democratic Party should not have fallen apart. Hillary Clinton lost for a variety of reasons, but it wasn't because of lack of messaging. It wasn't because people didn't understand the party. I disagree with that narrative totally. It was because the party was not unified, primarily because of the nasty primary that they went through. Small but nasty. And let's also include Russian interference in there, because that played a pretty significant role. And here they are doing the exact same thing all over again. They're going farther left to counter the far right shift of the Republican Party, which is changing the entire view of politics in general. And they're slanging mud like no other. So if I was a betting man, and I'm not, I honestly think Bloomberg and Biden, knowing America the way I know America, probably have the best chances of beating Donald Trump. Bernie Sanders is in the second tier with Elizabeth Warren. But honestly, I think Amy Klobuchar probably has a better chance of beating Trump than Warren and Bernie Sanders. And that's just because in order to beat Donald Trump, you got to get independents and Republicans to come out and vote for you. And I don't see Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders getting very many independents, very many centrists, even centrist Democrats coming out and voting for them. That being said, the parties are primarily driven by their extremes. And so Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are front runners because this is still a primary. But I don't know that either one of them can come back center. Bloomberg isn't going to survive because he's not a Democrat. The other one, stop and frisk, is pretty hard for a lot of black people to forget. Biden, we'll see. I still think Biden is probably the more likely candidate to win, especially when the black voters and minority voters start showing up in South Carolina and other places. But we'll see. But if they keep doing this, nobody's going to beat Trump. And despite all of them holding up black people as shields and swords, I didn't hear a whole lot that made me as a black person feel good about any of these candidates and what they would do for black people. And my goal as a black person is not just to defeat Donald Trump. My goal as a black person is to get a candidate in there that I feel will do something for my people. And I'm not so sure that any of these candidates are it right now. And beyond the superficial shit, because as black folk, we really got to start looking beyond the superficial shit, the placating words. None of them have really done anything. Share your thoughts.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
I want to thank you guys once again for listening to Lessons from the Screen. I want to ask you guys to go to, if you have an Android device, go to the Google Play Store, type in Freedom Train Radio. You'll see the logo of the train. Download the app, get the app. It'll keep you up to date on all of the shows and everything else that's going on here at the Freedom Train Network. Also, head on over to www.freedomtrainradio.com and check out all the shows. Leave comments, leave reviews. If you want to reach us or say anything to us, that's the best way to do it. Because if you just reach out through your social media, your a podcast listening app or YouTube or whatever, we don't check all of those things, but we do check the website. So go there. Also, I just want to thank you guys once again for tuning in, and see you next week. Let me know what you think about the show you just listened to. Let me know if you agree, disagree, you felt like I missed something, whatever it is, just holla at your boy, and I will see you next week or whenever the next show comes out. And if you are interested in sponsoring the show again, hit us up on the Freedom Train Radio website and let us know that you're interested in sponsoring a particular show or the entire network.